How's it going, everybody? This is Pat Loika. I'm back with a new episode of Loika Mania, the official podcast of, well, Pat Loika. This is a brand spanking new volume of podcast. This is actually episode one. And the reason this is episode one is because, well, I have moved. You know, my feed is no longer in the old feed that it was, that used to carry the Artcast and the older episodes of this show. Rather, I have moved to a feed that's hosted by friends, particularly Mr. Derek Coward. He runs the Deliberate Noise Network, for which I am now a part of. And from this point on, you can expect weekly episodes from me, unencumbered by having to deal with the uploading and all that stuff with dealing with Libsyn, which, and no offense to Libsyn, I mean, they did good, but it's just really me. It's difficult for my schedule to kind of keep up with trying to upload podcasts, doing blog posts and all that stuff. So I have, I've decided to let someone else handle that for me, and that's really the main reason why I moved with Deliberate Noise. And also, you know, Derek's a good guy, and he runs a tight ship, and he knows how to get this stuff out there. So I'm going to let him handle that aspect of the podcasting. Of course, I will be here every week entertaining you, or rather annoying you, or maybe even boring you. But I'll be here every week. I'll have your occasional friend or somewhat famous person to join me every now and then. And I'll continue to do what I do, which is talk about what I'm liking, talk about stuff I think you should check out. And that's really something I should move to now at this point, because the introductions are, you know, past us. So let's kind of get started here. I read a couple of books in the last week, a couple of comics, which I want to talk about. And there are two that stand out. That would be Blackest Night number 8 and X-Men Second Coming number 1. Now, I'm going to be honest here. Blackest Night number 8 was a lot of fun. It was very enjoyable. And the entire event in itself actually was a really, really well-done story. Ivan Reis really cemented his place as probably one of the top guys in the biz because of the art he did here. And, of course, Geoff Johns, he knows how to write a good superhero epic, and this is exactly what we got here. The story itself isn't my problem. I do have a problem with what happens at the end. And if you haven't read Blackest Night number 8, I strongly suggest that you turn this off. If you don't care at all about spoilers, then keep listening, because I'm about to get to it. At the end of the story, they resurrected a good number of characters from that, from the DC universe. And I have an issue with that. It's just that a lot of these characters had really, really, the deaths were done quite well. All these deaths served a purpose. And I'm actually a little bit happy that there are other characters that they could have brought back that they didn't bring back. Let's kind of go through the list of the people that they resurrected at the end of the story, which in turn pissed me off a bit. They brought back the Martian Manhunter, which is, pretty much the final thing from Final Crisis that they haven't really undone. They're bringing him back. Then everything about, remember Identity Crisis? Remember the first time you read that? I admit that was a dark, dark story, and it was really brutal. But it was really well done, mystery story. And in that story, they killed off Firestorm, Ronnie Raymond, and they killed off Captain Boomerang, Digger Harkness. And they brought them both back here, which, again, is an issue to me, because, I like the fact that, Captain Boomerang passed on, and he has a son, and his son is kind of taking over his legacy. And for some reason, them bringing him back, it feels like a step backwards, don't you think? I mean, really. And then there's Ronnie Raymond. We already got, a good new Firestorm, Jason Rush, and I thought he's a great character. He's been growing, and he's been going up the ranks as far as, newer characters are concerned. And then to bring back the old guy, the original guy, I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me also. I don't even want to get into it too much before I get mad, because I really like the story. It's just this aspect of it. Then, of course, they brought back Maxwell Lord, which, again, I thought is a mistake. Because, do you remember that the countdown to Infinite Crisis when they did the OMAG project and Wonder Woman was forced to kill Max Lord to save Superman? And that was such a powerful moment. There's such gravity in that moment, you know, because nothing was ever the same for Wonder Woman since then. And to have him turn that, you know, kind of have that moment get canceled out by Max Lord's current resurrection, because you know where this is going. Wonder Woman's going to be looked at as an innocent now because this guy's running around and he's still alive. There's, you know, there's got to be something going on here. Aquaman got brought back, and I actually don't mind Aquaman because, you know, if anything, that character kind of got shortchanged in the last few years. Maybe it's time that they actually start working on that character and make him desirable and make him cool again. Because he was really cool when Peter David was writing him in his own book. I think there's an opportunity here to turn Aquaman into a very, very great character. They brought back Jade, which I have no opinion of, but again, she had a great death during the Infinite Crisis. They brought back Hawk from Hawk and Dove, Hank Hall. They brought back Eobard Thawne, the original Professor Zoom. And I don't know, we already have a cool Zoom in Hunter Zolomon, you know? They brought back both of the Hawks again. They got killed off at issue one of Blackest Night, and now they're brought back. And I thought, that was a pointless, kind of cheap death now, if you look at it, because of this. But then again, there's a new twist of their characters now, and that they retain all of their memories. So this could lead to something better. You know, maybe I am just judging because I kind of like, you know, keeping dead people dead. I mean, I had the same reaction when they brought back Steve Rogers. I thought they should have kept him dead because Bucky was an interesting cap. They brought back Osiris, which I think is a good thing, though. This one, I can get behind Osiris coming back. And of course, the most interesting resurrection, of course, is Deadman. Because what are they going to do with that Deadman name now that he's alive? Well, that's really it for me with Blackest Night. I mean, I enjoyed it overall. I just had issues with some of the things they just did for this story. There's another one that they brought back. They brought back the Anti-Monitor. Oh boy, are we getting another Crisis sequel or what? Well, we'll find out anyway. I mean, overall, 8-issue miniseries was great. There are parts where it dragged. I mean, with 8 issues, it really can feel like it's a dragon. It doesn't matter who's writing it. It doesn't matter what company's putting it out. 8-issue miniseries, that's an event. It tends to drag towards the middle. This kind of, I mean, the advantage of this thing has it had great cliffhangers every time, and there are a lot of big moments that made you exclaim, "Holy shit!" while you're reading it. But, you know, I'm ready to move on. Unfortunately, I'm not picking up Brightest Day because I've gotten to that point where I really have to stop double-dipping on books, and I know I'm going to pick that up in trade when it comes out in trade. So I'm hoping there's a lot of good word of mouth behind that book because I really want them to be successful. I mean, it has a fantastic creative team involved in it. I mean, you got Peter Tomasi and Jeff Johns and a revolving crew of artists who I'm sure will do some fantastic work. So, you know, I'm glad Blackest Night is done. I'm glad I read that book. I'm looking forward to whatever Brightest Day brings. And I'll move on to my next book that I want to talk about, and that's X-Men Second Coming Number 1. And what could possibly be David Finch's final, you know, Marvel work prior to his DC signing. He really, really brought his A game in because there was a lot of stuff here that I never thought I'd see David Finch do. I mean, he does some really, really good character work here. I was really impressed. The splash pages and the double page spreads were fantastic. The splash page with Cable and Hope arriving at the ruins of the Xavier School was beautiful. I'm really excited to see where the story particularly goes. I mean, this chapter is written by Craig Kyle and Chris Yost, and who do X-Force. They just finished another event of sorts in their book called X-Necrotia. And I'm very excited to see where they go with with this because they just lost a few more mutants in the Necrotia storyline, and now they are, they're protecting, I guess, their last hope, which is, you know, the child Hope who was born in Messiah Complex. There is a lot of stuff going on in this particular first issue. Some of Cyclops' secrets are finally coming to light with the whole X-Force thing. And once again, I'm sorry, I already kind of spoiled something here, but there are spoilers here, and if you haven't read the book yet, I apologize. But, you know, I can't talk about this without letting out anything. They do a good job picking up on stuff that happened in other books because they mention that Magneto's still in a coma, which happened in the recent Uncanny 522 where he brought back Kitty Pryde. Kitty's not in play here either because she's still trapped in a state of intangibility. And they make mention of the fact that the Stepford Cuckoos no longer have the Phoenix Force within them, which is addressed in Legacy and in other books recently as well, which is, again, fantastic editorial, control here. We get a sense of urgency and a sense of there's a sense of doom in this story that you could feel it. This story will not end well. There won't be a happy ending for the X-Men in this story just by reading this first chapter, and if that's what they intend to convey, besides the fact that, that hope has come back, they make you feel the exact opposite because everyone's going after them now. The child's in complete danger, and Cable's not what he used to be because in his own series, he's kind of aged and he's got his own stuff to deal with. So whatever Second Coming does, I really hope it at least delivers on, it's like, how many issues? Like 12, 16 issue story. I really hope it continues to be exciting throughout the whole thing. I hope it picks up and follows through on the type of excitement that this particular issue brought forth. Looking forward to seeing the next issue, which takes place in Uncanny, with Terry Dodson illustrating and Matt Fraction writing. Want to see where we go as far as the drama goes, because at the end of this issue, Nightcrawler is really pissed off because he just witnessed X-23 murder an enemy combatant, and God, who knows where they could go with this thing. Really, I mean, I'm still hopeful that we don't get what's obvious here, which is a Jean Grey resurrection of some kind, even though I'm fairly certain that it's not going to be Jean Grey, but it's going to be a Phoenix Force thing. But you never know what happens when you play with a cosmic force like the Phoenix Force. So we'll see. Both books I just mentioned, Blackest Night number 8 and X-Men Second Coming number 1, both books are out in stores now, and both I highly recommend that you pick up, regardless of how you feel about what I just mentioned earlier about Resurrections, because despite my complaints about certain things, this is all based on my personal preferences. I think as far as quality goes, both books are way high up there. And as far as what's been going on with me, I haven't been able to follow through on a lot of things lately. There's a lot of stuff that's come out in the theaters because I like to talk about comics here. I also talk about movies and TV, other stuff I've been enjoying. I haven't gotten a chance to really watch any movies lately. Tons of stuff has come out since the last time. I think the last movie I saw in the theater was Book of Eli, I think. Oh wait, I did an Oscar marathon, which I haven't really talked about here, but the ship has sailed for that particular subject. I've been keeping busy working on a couple of my projects. We just released Blacklisted over at the Emerald City Comic Con, and pretty favorable, pretty favorable response from people who bought the book. Lots of great reviews, positive reinforcement from people. It was a tough project to do, but I was really happy with how it turned out, and that's not something I'm really, really known for saying, because I tend to be my own harshest critic. Right now I am working on The Villain, which is a continuation of the first of the series I started last year with writer Steve Earnhardt. We're actually preparing the trade paperback release for the San Diego Comic-Con, and It's been kind of tough because it's a lot of work. And despite it being a lot of work, really, it's a fun script. I'm having way too much fun drawing this particular project, and I'm hoping I can share some art down the road. You know, probably when I get some more finished pages in or something. We will see. In the meantime, though, I'm going to go ahead and reply to some emails that I have had sitting around from the last couple episodes of the somewhat older podcast. And let's get started with that, shall we? First email is from Laura Woodard, and she asks, "Dear Pat Loika, when you take over the world, can I have Sweden? Awaiting your rising, Laura." Well, Laura, you can have Sweden. I really don't care what you do with that country. You just keep away from my territory, and you try your best to not upset any treaties I have with other nations. I know you, Laura. You are a rabble-rouser, and we will not tolerate that kind of crap. Do you understand that? Next two questions are from Jessie Firminich, and she asks, "Dear Pat Loika, what time is it there? Welcome to Costco. I love you, Jessie." Well, it's 10:15 a.m. on a Monday morning, Jessie. And I don't know what you're doing at Costco, but you better take advantage of those good deals, yeah? And then her next question is, "Dear Pat Loika, I want to secure my place in the New World Order after you achieve world domination, but I don't know what positions are open. Can I just submit credentials for consideration and allow you to place me as you see fit, or do I have to specify? Your obedient servant, Jesse." Well, Jesse, with regards to this question, you can send me your resume, and I'll figure out where best to put you. I can only say that all the positions in this particular country are taken. However, I do have positions open in Sweden, and I have someone working in Sweden right now that needs to be dealt with properly, so maybe I can send you there. But again, send me your credentials first, and we will deal with it when the time comes. And that's it for my emails this week. Once again, this is just an introductory show, so I'm going to keep it short. I just want to say thank you to all the folks who have been listening to the older versions of the podcast from the Arcast and so on. Thanks again to Derek Coward for picking up the show. Again, we will be out every week. We're going to have some fun here. We're going to have friends. We're going to have some known quantities show up as well. It's not going to be just me talking, even though I'm sure you guys like that. Not really. I can't stand listening to myself talk. It's going to be a good time, folks. And again, thank you for following me here. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/PatLoika. Friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/PatLoika. Or you can just go to my website, patloika.com, which is my Tumblr blog, and you can follow me and see my random postings here and there. And that'll be it for me. I will see you next week. Take care. You have been listening to Loika Mania. All views expressed in this podcast belong solely to Pat Loika and his guests, and do not reflect the views of Derek Coward and the Deliberate Noise Network. For feedback or questions, please send them to theloika@gmail.com, and that's spelled theloika @gmail.com. And this podcast is a trademark of Pat Loika, all rights reserved, 2010.